This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out on the show live at Circa, where every Friday, you know this guy, Sean Green, is going to join me next. He's always here with Ryan Kramer. They're always up to some shenanigans. They're causing a scene, doing crazy stuff. Before we get to Sean real quick, I want to update you on Arizona and Seattle, where it's been a dramatic game where the Diamondbacks are called out at home on what would have been the winning run, and it looks like it's being reviewed. We'll update that as it comes in. But Sean Green now joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. You know him, the Sports Gambling Podcast. You know him from here on VSiN. Him and Ryan Kramer are two of my favorite follows. And if you're not following them during NFL season, especially for the primetime games, it's some of the best coverage you're going to see out there. We love having them a part of the team, and we love checking out the SGP guys every single Friday here on VSiN. Sean, thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate you as always. We go way back, obviously, to the Mad Dog days with Craig Shoemaker, and I love talking betting with you. Even then, when I was just the producer, I love talking betting with you. I think you've been ahead of the market when it comes to betting for a long time, where you understand a lot of these things, and you're always finding interesting angles. And with that long setup, let's look at the NBA finals.
What an intro, Dustin. What an intro. I got a lot to live up to.
Well, you're the man. I'm a big fan.
And I'm a big fan of you. I was just telling you, and this is, you know, off the air, I was saying I enjoy the show with you and Patrick. I listen because I'll be driving around. I obviously tune in on Sirius to VSiN, but also you guys over on Mad Dog. So great work on that show as well.
Appreciate it, man. VSiN Live, weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, me and Patrick Maher. I'm curious your thoughts when it comes to the NBA Finals, because you're great on the NBA as well. What were your thoughts and expectations as far as the Pacers and Thunder go, where I think most people were saying Thunder in five? I thought it was Thunder in five or six. I thought Indiana would get one. I didn't really anticipate two. What did you think pre-flop, and how have you adjusted your thought process here?
Well, Dustin, maybe I was on Pacers Island because I kept pulling my hair out, and I don't have any hair left. So it was a futile experience there, but I kept going, I like this Pacers team. I think they're going to be live in game one. I had them on the money line for a little bit of a sprinkle, and obviously was all over them and the points in game one. Gave a little back in game two because I had to keep riding them. But I had my big play for the series was Pacers plus 2.5 games. It was like plus 110, I think, plus 105, depending where you got it, because I just didn't think they would go down easy. And this Oklahoma City team they're great, certainly, and they deserve a ton of praise. And if I was hopping in right now, maybe I would just take SGA, MVP, or however you want to play Oklahoma City getting it done. But man, I think they're going to win one of these two games at home. And I think it might be game three, because you look back on this Pacers team, they're a completely different team since the new year started, since the All-Star break, however you want to, whatever point you want to cut it off. You got to go back to March 10th, the last time this Pacers team lost back-to-back games. And coming back on the other side, the Thunder, they haven't covered a road game in the playoffs yet. And you're giving this Pacers team 5.5. Rick Carlisle has been coaching a great series so far here in these two games. And yeah, game two got away from them, certainly. But I would look at it for the Pacers, like, who on the Pacers has really had a great game so far? Maybe Pascal Siakam, game one, played pretty good. Halliburton, I guess you would say he had a great game, game one, because he hit that shot. Yeah. But other than that, he's been really not playing well. I think they just have ton of room for improvement as they go home here. I think they're live on the money line, and I think they're going to give the Thunder everything they could handle. I think they're going to win one of these next two games. I think it's going to be 2-2 going back to Oklahoma City, but I like them game three.
I think the number's too big coming home game three. They're going to be juiced up. Crowd's going to be into it. They're fired up. They believe because they stole game one. There's an opportunity here. So I do think that number is too big as far as game three goes. Total 228.5. I don't know what to do with the total in this one, especially because Indiana can dictate the pace. But as a Pacers backer, what have been your sentiments as far as Tyrese Halliburton goes? Because I love him. I think he's a throwback. But my issue is I think he's too selfless. I want him to call his own number more. I want him to take over because he's capable. I think at times he tries to be that true point guard, tries to be a great teammate, And I think the being a great teammate for him right now is taking over and scoring. Would you like to see him do that? Or how else would you like to see maybe Rick Carlisle adjust things for the Pacers?
Yeah, no. And I'm sure Rick Carlisle, there were reports of him going nuts after the post game. And of course, he even called out like, hey, we're going to need you Pacers fans in game three to make this as loud as possible. So yeah, I'm with you. I think Halliburton has to have a good game for them to pull this off. And yeah, it's passive. It's like he drives to the lane and then kicks out instead of kind of forcing things. And I want him to be aggressive. And yeah, obviously take the threes when they're there, but also, you know, him driving to the lane has been very good. When he was locked in on that Knicks series, and you're like, and I was also on them on the Knicks series for the series at plus 125, he just kept hitting those mid-range floaters. Like when he is going to the hoop, and he's just, his nickname should be the blackjack table, because when he's hot, he is hot, man. Yeah. And he's not going anywhere. But when he's cold, it's just like, oh, you can't get anything going. He is totally a rhythm guy, and he needs to create his own rhythm, I think, is what's frustrating at times as a Pacers backer, because you didn't see it until the fourth quarter for both games. In game two, it was too late. Game one, it worked out great. I think another reason why I like the Pacers to get it done here is because some of these role players are just not the same home and road for the Thunder, right? Like it's always a fun angle to play in the prop market. Lou Dort at home, I've been taking his over points a bunch of times in the playoffs and then fading him on the road. Lou Dort, I would look towards his under points in this game, like guys like that. Lou Dort carried them kind of shooting there in game one. And so guys like that around SGA is going to get his. That obviously it's pretty simple, but you know, Caruso having a great game two, like that just doesn't, at least offensively, that doesn't happen. Now, obviously the Thunder's role, you know, their path to victory is, you know, keep up with the turnovers, keep the aggressive defense, let SGA light them up. But I just think the role players aren't going to be able to help the scoring. Yeah. And this Pacers defense, yes, the Thunder defense is good, but the Pacers defense is, I think, underrated, especially at home here in this spot.
Cashing out, VSiN, the sports betting network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, joined by my guy Sean Green at Sean T. Green over on X. Catch him and Ryan Kramer on Friday nights here on VSiN, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. on the Sports Gambling Podcast. That is Eastern time. And you mentioned some of these tertiary players, the bench players, the role guys. When they're at home, they're a little bit different. Who off that Pacers bench are we looking to back from a prop perspective, and how, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, I've been, again, you want to talk about the golden goose is TJ McConnell. He is just your prototypical scrappy guy off the bench. And again, we haven't even talked about the potential Halliburton injury. He was kind of limping around. I think he'll be fine. But if his minutes are limited at all, it means more action for TJ McConnell. TJ McConnell, his over rebounds and assists have just been a goldmine this playoffs. 18 games, he's gone over 13 times over 5.5. Now 5.5, you got to lay some juice at like -130, -140. I still like it, but if you want to play it over 6.5 rebounds and assists, I'm fine with that too. Like the guy just, he races down the court. He kicks it to open shooters. And that was working game one, game two. And I think it's going to work even better here game three, because those role players he's going to be kicking it to are going to be hitting at a higher percentage, which is going to help his assist angle. His PRA, you can play that over if you like. I think for me, the best is just over TJ McConnell rebounds and assists at 5.5. But all his props, rebounds, assists, points, they haven't adjusted enough to a guy who clearly has a role on this team.
I love it, Sean. Also, the Oklahoma City side of things. Who are we looking to fade? Who do you not like the numbers? Them going on the road, Indiana. We don't know how the style of fight's going to look. Who would you stay away from or maybe go under on from a player prop perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Lou Dort. I'm looking to fade his points. I also like fading Chet Holmgren. The under 8.5 rebounds for Chet, I'm smashing that under. He seems a little out of sorts for a series this big. And I know there were some talk and some thoughts about like, oh, hey, they should be playing the two bigs, but clearly Dagno doesn't seem really super committed to that. He was getting played off the court there a little bit, and now you go on the road. I just think it's a bad spot for Chet. So yeah, I look to take his under. I've been playing that a lot in the playoffs. I think his number has just been way too high. So his under 8.5, I like that a lot. And then Lu Dort, again, going back to, he's just an auto play at home on the over and auto fade on the road. And you know, his number was set at 7.5. They bumped it up because he had some good game ones and game twos. It's now set at 8.5 points. Love the under Lu Dort, 8.5 points. Chet Holmgren, under 8.5 rebounds. TJ McConnell, over 5.5 rebounds and assists. Those are my three favorite props. And then the Pacers itself, give me the 5.5. Shop around, find that 6. If you're nervous, buy a dog. But I think they're live on the money line at +185.
Yeah, I agree. And if you missed any of Sean's picks, don't worry. VSiN.com/picks. All the picks from this show, every other show on the network, all available all the time. And of course, catch Sean and Ryan Kramer Friday nights, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. The broadcast from here at Circa. They have a fun time. And they're as good as it gets when it comes to finding good, fun, different angles to bet on sports. Sean, you're the best. Thanks for doing this, man. We'll do it again soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Dustin. Good to hear from me.
That is Sean Green from the Sports Gambling Podcast, and he joined us on the Progressive Guest Line. We have one more guest who will join us in about 20 minutes. You know him, Greg Peterson, G-Unit. He attacks the MLB card. He looks at every single angle. He is fastidious when it comes to breaking down the numbers, and he'll have a bunch of plays as far as Tuesday's MLB card goes. However, when we return, let's see if there's some baseball player props we can find from a hitter's perspective. It's mano y mano on the other side of the break, including a couple teams that might be worth looking at their team totals, because they have great matchups against a southpaw, and they have fantastic numbers there. That's next on Cashin' Out.
Welcome back to Cashin' Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Let's keep this thing rolling here. It's Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. A wild, wild day in sports. In case you missed it, the Florida Panthers took a 2-1 series lead over the Edmonton Oilers in the Stanley Cup final earlier today. 1-6-1 over Cashes. Florida -142, -1.5, +$1.70. Also gets there. And it just goes to show you how big that Game 2 overtime win was, where the Panthers able to go there, win one on the road in Edmonton, and now all of a sudden they're up 2-1, and based on body language, looks like they're in the driver's seat as far as the Stanley Cup final goes. Some market adjustments coming off of that game. If you're looking at the Conn Smythe odds at the moment, they have moved plenty. Connor McDavid was your favorite going into tonight. That is no longer the case. Sam Bennett is now +$1.75 over at DraftKings to win the Conn Smythe Trophy. He's got 4 goals in this series. He did drop one in game 3. He opened around 33-1 at most shops back on June 1st. So if you're sitting on that ticket, tweet us at VSiN Live. Let's see those Sam Bennett tickets, because you took a chance on a guy on Florida who's having a crazy postseason run. And you're sitting in a really nice position right now where you can get creative if you have 33-1 on him, where you could bet a couple of these guys and potentially lock in a profit. First goal scorer of the game was Brad Marchand, and the Panthers never looked back. Marchand cashed 18-1, +280 for any time goal. Some other goal scorer odds that got there: Bennett was +195, Reinhardt $1.95, Verhaeghe was +210, Ekblad +750, Rodriguez +350. Take a break. Breath. That's the end of all the Florida Panther scorers. Corey Perry on the other side for Edmonton, +275 with a goal there. And then the big story as we adjust here and look at the odds as far as game 4 is concerned, it's similar to what game 3 looked like. Florida -$1.48, a little bit longer than they were in game 3. Edmonton +124, total 6.5. But the question hanging over this series for me is, will we see Stuart Skinner in net for the Oilers? Because he had an awful game in game three, where Florida was ultra aggressive, tons of shots on net, but Skinner had a ton of issues, 18 saves on 23 shots, just 78.3% save percentage, allowed five of the six goals for Florida. And we've seen this from this guy before, a bit up and down, capable of going on heaters and carrying a team really deep, but there's too much on the line here. Edmonton can't let this thing get away from them. I'm curious if we see Calvin Pickard come game four, because if it's not then, it may be too late for the Edmonton Oilers, where the series market has adjusted with Florida laying 260 and plus 215 the other way on the Oilers. You lose the next one. We've seen them make runs against the same Florida team a year ago, but I don't know. Florida feels like they might be different. If they get a lead, I think they snap the necks of the Oilers and win their second cup in a row. That's where we stand as far as the hockey goes. I want to find some player props, batters specifically, in today's MLB card, because there's a lot of matchups, depending on how you want to look at it, with certain teams, certain players, historical data, or you can look at just versus lefty-righty splits that I jumped out to me today, where I think we're going to have a bunch of plays up at VSiN.com/picks by the end of the day. Let's do it another edition of Mano y Mano. And again, for those at home, Mano y Mano, I barely pass Spanish, but a lot of people think it means man versus man. It's not man versus food. I know that much. That's Adam Richman. That's my guy. It's hand in hand. That's what it means. So we're going to look at not just man versus man, but hand and hand. Let's begin with the man versus man aspect of things, where I want to see some of the historical data, some of these hitters against these pitchers. And we'll begin with Nolan Gorman and the St. Louis Cardinals. They're taking on Toronto and Chris Bassitt, where Gorman's 2-for-2 lifetime with two homers. It's a very small sample size. But I can tell you this, if a guy has two at-bats and two homers off a guy, he sees the ball well. Nolan Gorman could be a guy you think about for a total base prop potentially there. The odds of him going 3-for-3 with three homers feels kind of slight, but total bases could be in play there. Jeff McNeil's taking on Mackenzie Gore. That's the Nats and the Mets in Queens. And while I like Mackenzie Gore's K prop, Jeff McNeil, despite it being a lefty-on-lefty matchup, 7-for-10 lifetime against Gore. Now, it's a lot of hits, but the problem is not for extra bases. So I don't know if I'd do anything with McNeil, but I did think that those are pretty crazy numbers because it's a lefty on lefty matchup. Then Marcus Semien, who's starting to heat up lately, 7-for-13 lifetime against Minnesota's Bailey Ober. However, I just looked at DraftKings. Bailey Ober is not listed as the starter right now. That may change throughout the day. If it is Ober, 7-for-13, 5.39 average with two homers. And a couple other people I want to highlight here, where I think they may be worth betting. Los Angeles' Michael Conforto against Dylan Cease. He's 5-for-3 lifetime with three doubles. So three of his five hits are for extra bases. Numbers aren't posted yet anywhere, but I'd look at Michael Conforto if it's over 1.5 total bases. Curious if we'll get a plus price on that. He's someone I'd look to back today. And then this last one, I don't know if I'm getting too cute or if it's sneaky right, but Cincinnati is taking on Cleveland, and Will Benson, since getting called back up a couple weeks ago, the lefty swing looks good, and he's facing Slade Ciccone, who he's 4-for-8 lifetime against with a double and two homers. He also went 2-for-3 on Monday night. I think Will Benson's a guy from a total base perspective I'm going to have some action on, because it's a combination of good numbers against Ciccone, and then also he's been hitting the ball well since getting called up, and they're both kind of young guys who've done everything they can do at AAA. So I feel like this is an even matchup where Benson actually has the edge here. Now let's flip the script and look at the splits, because there are a couple teams that kill lefties that I think are worth looking at player props, team totals on Tuesday's card. And let's begin with the Detroit Tigers. One of my favorite guys to fade in baseball is Cade Povich for the Baltimore Orioles. And I don't see the game on the board right now, but Detroit is taking on Baltimore and Cade Povich scheduled to pitch. And they have three guys in their lineup that are absolute lefty killers. McKinstry hitting 358 with three doubles, three triples, and a homer. Javier Baez, 345 against southpaws this year with a homer and three doubles. And Gleyber Torres, who's notoriously been really good against lefties, 347, three homers, six doubles. I think the Detroit team total is something I would think about as far as Tuesday goes. And then the Yankees. We touched on it earlier. The Yankees taking on the Royals and Noah Cameron. And Noah Cameron's been really good to start things off, but he doesn't miss a ton of bats. And now he's going to face a talented Yankee team unlike he's seen in his first five starts to begin his run here with the Royals. And they've got too many guys who mash southpaws. Number one, with a highlight, bullet, however you want to lock it in, Paul Goldschmidt over 1.5 total bases. He, against lefties this year, is hitting .473. 26 of 55, 7 doubles, 4 homers. I love Paul Goldschmidt on Tuesday. Aaron Judge is hitting over .400 against lefties with 4 doubles and 7 homers. Sometimes his props are a little tough to back just because you have to lay such a price and baseball's a fickle beast. Bellinger, despite it being lefty on lefty, really good against lefties, hitting .358, 4 doubles, a triple, and 2 homers. And then Anthony Volpe, hitting .323 with 6 doubles and 2 homers. I might have a little bit of Anthony Volpe on Tuesday. Over 1.5 total bases at plus $1.25. Because of the speed, if he gets into one, stretching a single into a double, we can cash that. Volpe's the guy I'm looking to attack. But if you just want to go team totals, Yankees over 4.5 runs against the Royals and Cameron. They have an 838 OPS as a team. They're hitting .270 as a group against southpaws. The Tigers against lefties taking on the Orioles and Povich, hitting .266, 20 homers, .766 OPS. Those are two teams, team total-wise, I think are worth looking at as far as Tuesday goes. And then let's go from the left-handers to going up against the right-handers, which it takes a lot for someone to jump out to me statistically here. Ryan O'Hearn's pretty much consistently going to be a part of this segment, hitting .329 against righties, 6 doubles, 9 homers on the year. Gunnar Henderson for the Orioles having a good season, hitting .322 against righties with 7 homers and 2 triples. But I'm going to look at a couple other guys. Pete Crow Armstrong jumped out to me with the Cubs, and he is hitting .317 right now against righties. 14 homers, 13 doubles, 2 triples, a ton of speed, and that plays a role here in why you want to look at a guy like PCA on total bases, because he can stretch, similar to what we talked about with Volpe, stretching a single into a double. It's the Cubs taking on the Phillies tomorrow. On the bump for Philly is Mick Abel. I believe it's his second start for them. Right now, he's a minus 115 favorite. Colin Ray on the hill for Chicago, minus 105. I think this is one of those deals where PCA is more experienced at the majors at this point. I think he has an edge against Abel. I'd go over 1.5 total bases. And the last one here, Jonathan Aranda, kills righties, hitting .338, 10 doubles, 7 homers. We'll go over 1.5 total bases, plus 105 on Jonathan Aranda and the Rays facing Lucas Giolito, who's getting knocked around by a lot of teams since coming off the IL this season. That's the player props. How about some sides and totals? We'll get all of that and more in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss Greg Peterson's best bets. That's next on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back into the show. Appreciate you taking us in, however you may be doing it. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, and of course, the VSiN Watch app. Get wherever you get your apps for your phones. We've had a lot going on today on the show. 2-1 is now the series for the Stanley Cup Final. The Florida Panthers win 6-1 over the Oilers, making that thing really interesting. We're curious if Edmonton's going to come back. Baseball was crazy today. Obviously, we're still waiting for the NBA. And in the meantime, we have to figure out what we're betting as far as the Tuesday baseball card. There's no one better to talk to about that than Greg Peterson, who's going to join us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Check out his article over at VSiN.com, where he previewed basically the entire baseball card. He's got every game broken down for you. He's got plays on most of them. And you can check him out on the Baseball Betting Show. Of course, his podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, and across the network here on VSiN. And he's just an overall great guy. Greg, thanks for doing this as always. Let's begin because you have a lot of plays. And let's start with the Mets and the Nationals, which I think is a really interesting game. Griffin Canning on the hill for New York, minus 164. Mackenzie Gore taking the bump for Washington, plus $1.34. Total 7.5. What are we going to do with that one?
I'm going to be looking at the over. While Mackenzie Gore has gotten a lot of strikeouts, he does sometimes have the propensity to give up a little bit of general contact, and I think that regression is coming for Griffin Canning. The 4 walks per 9 innings is really the concern, and low-key, the Washington Nationals offense is starting to get it going. In the month of May, they were a top 7 team in terms of runs per game. James Wood has been giving you some good wood. 16 home runs this year, north of a 360 on base. You've had CJ Abrams being able to move line. It feels like these young Washington Nationals are coming into their own. And even if you don't get a lot from the Washington Nationals, even if you get a good start for Mackenzie Gore, that Nationals bullpen, north of a 570 ERA, dead last in the National League right now. They just can't find anyone outside of Kyle Finnegan to be able to give them good innings. And Kyle Finnegan's the closer. So unless if they have a lead in the ninth inning, you're probably not going to be seeing him. Additionally, for the New York Mets, they've been a rock solid bullpen. But again, I think the Canning gives up a few runs here. Looking at that 7.5 over, and if you can get a plus 140 or greater, last I saw at Circa, you're able to get a plus 141. We'll be rolling to roll the dice on Mackenzie Gore on the money line.
Love that. Love that. I'm on Mackenzie Gore over 6.5 strikeouts, even money. He's been punching guys out for about 7 straight starts here, clearing that number. So that's where I stand on that one. How about the Rays and the Red Sox? Extra innings tonight with Tampa Bay winning. Now let's shift over to tomorrow, where it's Pepiot taking on Giolito. Rays slight favorite, minus $1.15, minus 105, the other side with Boston. Totals 9.5. How are we playing this?
I think that the Red Sox just slugged their way to victory in this one. They have really been able to find their offense over the last few games. Even in a loss tonight, they still were able to get 8 runs up on the board. It's a team that is averaging 5.3 runs per game at home. That is number 4 in all of baseball, second only to the Yankees in the American League. So I'm going to be taking a look at this total over. And for Ryan Pepiot, well, he's got a solid ERA, hovering right around about a 3.20. Career low in strikeouts, with 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. Fielding dependence about a point higher rather than his ERA. And you were mentioning this in the last segment, Lucas Giolito. Man, he has been a human pinata this year. He's given up north of 5 ERA. He's really given up the deep ball. His strikeout numbers are way down as well. So you can bank on the Rays, who have been able to come into their own with their own offense to be able to get some runs for you as well. So even with this being a 9 to 9.5, there are some places with a 9, some places with a 9.5. I do like the over, but in the end, I do think that the Red Sox should be able to get the job done. Getting this right around like a minus 105, even up to a minus 110, we'll be looking at the Red Sox money line to go along with the over.
Greg Peterson with us on the Progressive Guest Line, cashing out VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Give him a follow over on X at GUnit_8181. Of course, read his articles over at VSiN.com. How about the Yankees and the Royals? Interesting matchup of lefties. Max Fried and the Yankees minus 206 on the road at Kansas City. Royals plus $1.67. Noah Cameron's been good to start off his career there. Totals 8.5. How are you going to play it?
Now, with Noah Cameron, do I think that there's going to be a regression to the fact that he's given up one run or fewer at each out of his first 5 starts for his career? Yes, mainly because he's just allowing so much contact that he is doing for a little bit of regression. Only 5.6 strikeouts per 9 innings, but Kauffman Stadium has been playing very pitcher-friendly this season. And by that, I mean the Royals are averaging 3.1 runs per game at home. That is dead last in the big leagues. That is buying the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Colorado Rockies. Insert all of your bad teams here. They're averaging the fewest runs per game at home of any team in all baseball. But what has allowed the Royals to be able to have a winning record thus far this season? Bullpen has been really good. Top 10 team in terms of bullpen ERA. You do have Lucas Urshich currently on the injured list, which hurts them. But like Steven Cruz and company have been able to step up. Carlos Estevez was a really nice signing in the offseason. And for Max Fried, he has been masterful. Sub-2 ERA. Fielding Ben is about a point higher than his ERA. Again, not some sort of strikeout artist with about 8.6 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he doesn't put guys on cheaply. 0.6 home runs allowed per 9 innings, 2 walks allowed per 9 innings. I do think that Cameron holds the ball in the yard. I think that Max Fried delivers his as well. And then with this number north of plus 160 on the money line with the Royals, they're making me the godfather offer of something that I can't refuse with a home underdog in this sort of spot. So I'm looking at that Royals money line, but what I wrote up here is the under, especially if you can get an 8.5.
I love it. Greg's got some more plays. We'll get back to them in just a second. First, I have to tell you about this amazing deal over here at VSiN.com, where look, you become a pro today, you're not just going to get everything we do at the website, which includes, you know, the picks, the betting splits, the daily newsletter from Bill AD, and the 24/7 video access to the VSiN Watch app. But you'll also get Josh Applebaum's new book, The NFL Sharp Betting Playbook, $41 off an annual subscription. Use the promo code BOOK. It's you get a full year of VSiN Pro for $199 plus Josh's book, and it'll tell you how to read the market, spotting sharp action, and teach you how to make sharper NFL bets. I mentioned everything else you'll get at VSiN.com. All you have to do is go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code BOOK to sign up. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Use promo code BOOK. Back to Greg's picks, where I think there's an interesting late game on the Tuesday card. Brian Wu in Seattle, -119 favorites on the road in Arizona, taking on Brandon Faught. They're -102 are the D-backs. Totals 8.5. How are we going to play this where Brandon Faught comes into this one looking awful on the bump, Greg?
You want to talk about Brandon Faught looking awful. In his last two starts, he has gotten 9 outs and he's given up 14 runs, 13 of which have been earned. He has given up 4 more earned runs than he's gotten outs in his last two starts. Like, I don't know how you can back the guy right now. Like, for Brandon Faught, he's a guy that I've thought has had some upside for the last few years. But I mean, two starts ago, you talk about a no-hitter. I don't know what you want to call it. An every hitter, if you want to call it a no-outer, that's exactly what he had. He had no outs and he gave up 8 runs. Like, I mean, it is just absolutely going down the tubes for him. And then additionally, you have an extra inning game tonight for the Arizona Diamondbacks bullpen that has not been good. They're in the bottom 5 of the major leagues in terms of ERA. Brian Wu's been solid, a 3.2 ERA. He does give up a little bit of the deep ball, a little bit north of home run per 9 innings, but again, 1.3 walks per 9 innings. I like his form with getting the Diamondbacks right around like a -115, -120 money line. I do like that. And for Seattle, initially, this has been a rock solid offense on the road, top 18 with regards to runs per game. Big jumper Cal Raleigh, 26 home runs thus far this season. I think that they get to Faught. I think that they get to that bullpen. I like the Mariners on the money line. And especially with this coming down to 8.5, it was 9 earlier, all the better. I like the over along that money line.
I love it, Greg. I'm trying to live dangerously and convince myself to place a bet on Cal Raleigh 15-1 for AL MVP. I know fading Aaron Judge is a crazy proposition, but if Raleigh hits 60 bombs and drives in 130 runs with the rest of that offense being what it is, I feel like there should be a case to be made. I don't know if he wins, but it feels like the number should be a lot shorter. Let's sneak one more play in because you also like to live dangerously. I'm trying to live dangerously with that Raleigh ticket. You wrote up at VSiN.com the Marlins and the Pirates tomorrow. Mitch Keller takes the hill for Pittsburgh, -132 there, +109 the other way with the Marlins. Totals 8.5. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm not going to be backing Sandy Alcantara. I don't know what happened to Sandy Alcantara. Obviously, he had major surgery, but it's as if Sandy Alcantara was abducted. They have some imposter out there trying to sell us that it's Sandy Alcantara. 4.3 walks per 9 innings. Like, this guy, when he was a Cy Young candidate and won the Cy Young a few years ago, he was not walking anyone. He was able to give you durability and depth. Not so much anymore. Marlins are in the bottom 6 of the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Really, other than Kyle Stowers, they don't have a lot of power. And for the Pittsburgh Pirates, has this offense been awful? Yes, they have been. They're averaging about 3.3 runs per game at home, but they've been better over the last few weeks. O'Neill Cruz and company are starting to give you something. Andrew McCutchen has been a move line for this team. And against Sandy Alcantara, is rocking north of a 70 ERA, is really not getting any outs whatsoever. And Mitch Keller, for his career, about a point better with his ERA at home rather than on the road. I think that the Pirates get the job done. I like that money line, and I do like to say it over. And by the way, with your Cal Raleigh ticket, I do think that you've got value because Aaron Judge, he shouldn't be as big of a favorite as he is just because the odds of him getting injured, I think, is actually bigger than the number that you're laying exactly there. So I actually do think that you've got some value with Cal Raleigh.
See, that's my point. He's a big guy. He's gotten hurt from time to time. They could have a big lead in the East where if he does get hurt, they don't rush him back. Great minds think alike, Greg. And you'll catch Greg many nights here on Cashing Out. Read his work over at VSiN.com. He's writing out all the baseball games every single day. Thanks for doing this, man.
Always appreciate it, Dustin. Thank you.
When we return, our VSiN morning bets for Tuesday. That's next on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out. out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back into the program. Appreciate you joining us, however you may be doing it. Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, and of course the VSiN Watch app. It's been a head on a swivel Monday night here on the program. A lot going on. And now it's time for our VSiN Morning Bets segment, running through what we believe here are the best plays as far as Tuesday's card goes. Before we do that, I want to remind you about the GBank Trifecta. Introducing the $500 Trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 Trifecta. You'll then receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the Trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 Trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank for all of those details. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. In case you missed it, the Florida Panthers took a 2-1 series lead in the Stanley Cup Final. Now up 2-1, thanks to a 6-1 victory cashing the over. Also, Florida cashes at -$1.42 on the money line, -1.5 at +170. We look at the odds for game four, and it's a lot of the same as we saw for game three. Panthers -148, -1.5 on the puck line at +170, and Edmonton +124, total again at 6.5. I may be crazy, but I'm going to go back to Edmonton at plus money, +124. I was wrong on Monday. I don't think I'm going to be wrong twice. I think they respond. The question comes, who do we see in net for the Oilers? Will it be Stuart Skinner? Will it be Calvin Pickard? I'm hoping it's Pickard, but I do believe McDavid, Draisaitl, and company, they respond here and they cash that plus money ticket because I still believe this series is going seven. Games one and two, evenly matched in Edmonton. I think that's more indicative of the talent levels between these two teams. We're going the distance. That's where we stand there. As far as the baseball card goes for Tuesday, I've got a bunch of player props and a couple sides that really jumped out to me, as well as one team total, and we'll take a chance with it. First off, you've got the New York Mets and Washington Nationals going at it. Mackenzie Gore on the hill for Washington, taking on Griffin Canning. Canning and the Mets -162, +133 when it comes to Washington, totals 8. But I like a player prop. If you have been following Mackenzie Gore over his last few games, this guy's been punching a lot of guys out. 7 strikeouts against the Cubs on Wednesday. Prior to that, his K total was 8.9979. Set at 6.5 at even money against the Mets. And while the Mets offense is awesome, and last year they were really good against lefties, I think there's an opportunity to get even money on Mackenzie Gore, who's just in a groove right now. He's going to continue that. Let's go over 6.5 strikeouts for Mackenzie Gore of the Nats at even money. Now it's time to look at some hitters that I think are interesting. And a lot of that begins with the New York Yankees. You know, the New York Yankees are one of the best teams in baseball at hitting lefties. In fact, I believe they are the best team in baseball at hitting lefties. 838 OPS, hitting .270 as a team, 27 homers, and 104 ribbies. And the reason I'm bringing this up is they're going to take on the Kansas City Royals and Cameron. Cameron's only made 5 starts to start his career, and he just doesn't miss a lot of bats. He's not averaging a strikeout per inning. And I think because he doesn't miss bats and goes for contact, the Yankees are just the wrong matchup for him. And the market says so. The Yankees are -206 favorites on the road in Kansas City, +167 the other way with the Royals and Cameron. Totals 8.5. Let's go Yankees team total. I don't know if I want to lay the 143 juice on over 4.5 runs as far as the Yankees go. Let's live dangerously. Let's take a chance. Over 5.5 team total in the Yankees, +115. I think this is where things come down to earth for Cameron. He faced the Cardinals twice. He faced the Twins. The Yankees are a step up in class, especially against lefties. And then you look at their lineup. I have 2 player props I like from the Bronx Bombers. One's Paul Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt is hitting .473 against southpaws this year. 7 doubles, 4 homers. We're going to go over 1.5 total bases on Goldie at -125 juice. And then Anthony Volpe, over 1.5 total bases at +$1.25, hitting .323 with 6 doubles and 2 homers against lefties. Because Cameron throws the contact, Volpe's got great speed. If he knocks one and can stretch a single into a double, we can cash that very quickly. Those are the two props, batter-wise, I like for the Yankees on Tuesday. And that's where we stand in that matchup. Two more player props, two more sides coming your way here. As Will Benson, let's go over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBI as Benson, a lefty, taking on the Guardians and Slade Ciccone. Give you the odds on that game. It's Andrew Abbott on the bump for the Reds. Ciccone -118 for Cleveland, -103 for the Reds and Abbott. 8 is the total. This is a matchup where Benson's 4 of 8 lifetime with 2 homers and a double against Ciccone. Obviously sees the ball well, but he's also locked in since getting called back up a couple weeks ago. He's got a good swing. We've been waiting for him to really put it together. Feels like that might be happening for Cincinnati. Benson over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs at +$1.15. And then our last player prop here, let's go to Tampa and Boston, coming off an extra inning game with a lot of runs on Monday night. Ryan Pepiot on the hill for the Rays at -115 is your favorite. Giolito taking the hill for the Red Sox at -105. Your total's 9.5. I really like Jonathan Aranda. We're going to go over 1.5 total bases +$1.05 with Giolito. With Aranda against Giolito. This is a guy with great numbers against righties on the year, hitting .338, 10 doubles, 7 homers, plus price on a guy who makes his living hitting righties. And Giolito, since coming off the IL to begin the season, he hasn't looked right, and he's getting smacked around by everyone he faces. So let's take a shot on Aranda there and his total base prop. And then a couple sides that immediately jumped out to me where I think if we don't bet them now, they're going to move later in the day. We've got the Pirates hosting the Miami Marlins. Mitch Keller on the hill for Pittsburgh. Sandy Alcantara on it for Miami. And Alcantara's got a 7 ERA over his last 5 starts. He's been awful this season. You can't trust him. You also can't trust the Marlins bats. Whereas you look at Mitch Keller hasn't been great, but he's been serviceable. He's been solid. I'm going to lay the $1.32 with Pittsburgh and Mitch Keller in the spot where maybe the bats for the Pirates are coming alive after scoring 10 runs on Monday night. I think that's a spot where I think the Pirates have the better pitcher and they have the better lineup right now. Let's take the Pirates. And then this one's already moved a little bit. About an hour ago, Seattle on the road at Arizona tomorrow. Brian Wu on the hill was -115. It's jumped up a little bit to -119. Brandon Pfaadt starting for the Diamondbacks. He's -102. Total's 8.5. This is a situation where the Seattle just has a massive edge on the hill. Brandon Pfaadt has been so bad of late. It's actually shocking. He's a guy who a couple of years ago burst on the scene with the World Series, right? Where everyone thought, you know what, this might be a future two, maybe not an ace, but a fringe guy as far as Arizona's concerned. But he's got an 8 ERA over his last few starts here. Last 5 for Pfaadt. I'm sorry, 11.09 ERA over his last 5 starts. 18.2 innings pitched, 10 strikeouts, a 1.71 whip. Everyone's getting on base. Everyone's getting hits. I like Seattle to win that one at a nice price of -119 right now over at DraftKings. And that will be all of the baseball plays I have for you. And since I won't be with you until after Wednesday's NBA Finals Game 3 in Indiana, I would say right now with the odds looking like Indiana is catching 5.5 at home, that would be my play. I would take the points with the Pacers. I don't know if I touch the total at 228 right now, but I don't trust the Thunder, who have an issue on the road covering games and also have had an issue in game threes in the postseason the last couple series. I think Indiana gets it done in terms of covering the number. I don't know if they win, but I think they cover the number. And then I have player props that I really, really love. Tyrese Halliburton, over 31.5 points, rebounds, and assists combined. Off a playoff loss, he has been awesome clearing this number in 3 of 4. The one that he didn't was a blowout win over Cleveland, so they pulled him early, didn't play the full game. And I think Carlisle adjusts and relies on his starters a little bit more with how critical this game is, the energy of the crowd in game 3. I do expect Halliburton to do a little bit more and be more involved from a point scoring perspective. I also love Miles Turner, who's been better at home, especially beyond the arc, 38.9% from three at home versus 28.2% away. And I think the Pacers may be able to dictate the pace of play coming back to their friendly confines there in their arena. We'll go Miles Turner over 19.5 points and rebounds. Also, I like Isaiah Hartenstein over 7.5 boards at even money, and Chet Holmgren over 14.5 points at minus $1.30. Those are my four favorite props with NBA Finals Game 3. Man, that flew by. Appreciate you joining us tonight. Don't go anywhere. You can wake up tomorrow with VSiN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, they have you getting started at 7 a.m. Then it's a numbers game with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin at 10 a.m. Eastern. And then Money Move, Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel have you covered beginning at noon. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We'll see you next time. This has been Cashing Out.